Welcome to the Effective Engineering Manager podcast.
Hello, Adam. It's your time today. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, Slava. Today, I'd like to continue our team building series and talk about knowing how to identify what you need based on the team you currently have.
Sounds like an interesting topic. Certainly one which would be very helpful to many different managers out there. In our previous topic on the all-star teams, we discussed that composing the team of the top performers is not the effective approach to building teams. So, how do you effectively compose a team?
It's a great question and a good segue, because I believe there's a misconception that recruitment and retention for teams should always follow a similar formula. We start thinking about recruitment or replacing folks, we kind of move towards a more engineering mindset than a human mindset, especially within engineering. And if we follow that formula for how we're supposed to do things, we end up with, you know, the best of the best, the cream of the crop of people that we interview. And really, you end up getting very much the same of different people. But you're right, that would go against our guidance on avoiding all-star teams. So then, what is actually effective? And to help explain this, let's talk about some practical real experience. So Slava, question for you. Have you ever found yourself in your experience with a team that just gelled well together and seemed like a perfect fit?
Yes, and I think I've been lucky. And even though I've been hiring for 15 years, most of the times I've had good successes. And I think there was a couple of things that stood out. Number one, not only hiring into the skill set, right? Not only hiring to someone's being able to code and build systems and design systems, but also hiring a person, right? And assessing through the interviews, assessing how would they perform as people and as members of the team. But that's not the end. So we hired them and then I had great hires. Personally, I believe that for a manager, this is the actual work begins, right? Now we have the individual. What do we do? How do we integrate them into the team so that they're part of the team and not, you know, standing aside, right? And so my approach was to hire into the need, right? Seeing what team needs, who team needs, and post hiring, integrating them into the team and making them the part of the team, intangible part of the team. And this is where all my successes were.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that experience. And I bet when you saw that happen, when you saw the team gel after applying some of these, you probably said to yourself, wow, I really have a great team. What made that happen? And effectively, it was because of the things you didn't necessarily recruit for, but ended up happening. For example, you know, you may have had teams where you had folks who volunteered mentorship for others on the team, building, you know, those bonds. Or maybe there was really strong collaboration or strong trust built across the team that allowed them to collaborate. And maybe willingness of the team to help others or reach out beyond their traditional job responsibilities. And so in the end, what happened was you had a set of folks who worked together to create a true culture, right? Culture was created, something definitive that was seen as positive that uniquely identified this team. And from that culture, now you're trying to say, well, okay, that was great. How do I reproduce that, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, actually saying what you're saying really makes a lot of sense. So how do we proactively build strong teams and not just hope that the team will become a good team?
That's a great question. And that gets us into the topic at hand of how to know what you need. Because if you're keenly aware of your team culture and you identify gaps, not just in technical skills, but also in other areas such as expertise, experience, personality, diversity, and others, you can have a better shot at not only building effective teams that gel well together, but sustain that culture over a period of time. And there are a couple dimensions of things that are needed when determining what you need. first thing is understanding where your team is on the continuum of the team growth scale, right? And if you look at traditional models that say, okay, teams that go through different phases, they form, they storm, they norm, meaning you put people together, they're inherently going to kind of go through their growing pains, and they're going to come out of it with some kind of normalized behavior, and then they'll eventually plateau, and then, you know, the team will kind of disband, right? So knowing that, and also knowing the dimension where your team is at in the project growth life cycle. So, you know, whether it's a new organization or a new team within the organization or building a team for the first time, as a manager, you have to identify where you're at to determine what you need, right? And the needs that you think you may need may not necessarily align with what our guidance is here. First thing, let's define what an early team needs. So an early team is one that hasn't formed yet, meaning you're being asked to build a team for the first time. You're building the team with, you know, person 1, 2, 3 and whatnot, right? And that team is typically smaller at first, typically asked to start the program, right? Start the project. So there may be a lot of unknowns, there may be a lot of ambiguity, and there may be a lot of energy as well for something that is the company is trying to launch. And in those teams, you need folks that may be a little bit more seasoned, not necessarily the most senior, right? It's not like you want to stack it with all senior people. You want to stack it with folks who A, have a little bit of experience under their belt, but also can deal with ambiguity, right? You say, the company wants us to build this, let's go at it. And so that they can take something, they relish that opportunity, and they also are folks who can work well independently and can basically iterate and build something from nothing, right? And these are also going to be folks that hopefully will stay within the team and become your ambassadors later on, right? And they will start to own the product. So that's kind of what you need at first. Then as the team starts to mature and grow, most likely the product or the program is also maturing, which means that now you have fielded customers, your users, you have a product that may have a backlog of sustaining, you may have to provide support, you may have to support, you know, a growing a product line group that may have more requirements or use cases, you know, many more stakeholders now. And that growing team is actually the most vulnerable because it's the bridge. It's at that point where your team can either maintain a good culture that is set or can disband, right, if it's not cultivated. And in that growing team, you need folks who understand the baseline and what they've done. So some of these folks that might have been part of the early team who are also willing to be mentors to others, you know, that also kind of really enjoy working with others, sharing knowledge, helping others through problems. But you also need some folks who might be more junior because you may need folks who can work through a more tactical sustaining backlog or deal with support or, you know, smaller features and like getting stuff out. And oftentimes folks that at the beginning of their career, this type of task is more suited to them and helping them establish themselves, get going, you know, and kind of grow in that role. And so you're creating these complementary roles within the team. You may also need some subject matter experts, and you also may even need folks that can fill the gaps in the vision of what you're trying to do culturally, right? Maybe you need more folks that can help, you know, with a little bit of brevity on the team, or folks that are going to be, you know, ones to help initiate, you know, some team outings or some collaborative events, or maybe folks that even can look at problems in a completely unique way, right? To kind of help freshen the approach that the team has and just keep the team, you know, that glue that helps the team together. And then as the team grows and matures, and now you get to a team that has hit like a mature or plateaued state, at that point, now you really need to look at who are the next generation of folks that are going to carry this team forward. And you're going to look at within the team, and you're going to look at folks who you know, may be more at the more junior end or experience time on the team that, you know, have the most potential to carry that forward. Maybe they've been, you know, really strong advocates within the team, really participatory. And those are the folks you want to start tap to, you know, take the team, because most likely some of the folks that have been with the team longer, or even your more senior folks, you know, they're going to start to move off to other things, just naturally, or but because the organization needs their expertise in other projects, right? That happens often. So you need to, but as the manager, and you're still in charge of the team, you may need to say, look, I want to continue this culture, because ultimately this team may plateau, but then it may also fold itself into another new team, right? The product may mature, maybe we're asked to do something else. So you got to start thinking that that team, the composition of folks, may actually still stay together and start to kind of go through that same cycle again, right? Kind of a rebirth, if you will. And the undercurrent of any evolving team needs to be able to always train and backfill for both expertise and culture. So anytime someone joins the team, there should be a natural and organic adoption of that new person in sharing the culture with them, and something that can continue to last over time. And that's really important, because like we talked about when we said, hey, I had a really good team once, what happened to that, right? Good, effective managers are ones that kind of hold the team together over a longer duration, or ones that can carry that vision through all these changes on the team. And that's very difficult to do, but it is possible if you kind of approach it from the perspective of having a vision up front and making sure you as the leader are cultivating it and giving rebirth to it, just like you would when planting crops each year, right? You want the same vegetables and crops and herbs and all to grow again. You have to take care of them during the downtime, and then ultimately feed them into the next season so that they can continue to grow when the next growth season is. So it's inevitable that teams will change and people will ultimately leave or move on as well. But what is vital is to adapt a vision and a philosophy that can withstand any organizational change. And now when you recruit, you want to look for someone who is going to complement the team and its culture, and not encourage silos or competition, aka all-star teams. And part of any interview process should involve seeing how the individual performs within the team setting, not just stuck writing on a whiteboard for 6 hours, for example, right? You really want to immerse that person into the product, into the team in some way. It could be a team lunch. It could be a team activity. You can get creative with this. But to see, you know, does this person really fit well, and does the team really embrace that person? It's important, because ultimately that's the practical application of that person joining the team. Another thing to be aware of, as kind of a little side note, oftentimes organizations will kind of say, we're hiring, you know, in advice to their employees, we're hiring generically, meaning we're just looking for strong engineers, right? That is a sign that you're being asked to hire resources, not people, right? That's happened to me many times. I've had, you know, senior level executives say, hey, we're just looking for well-rounded individuals. So when you're interviewing, you know, be careful. And I think what they're trying to say is they're basically saying, we don't want to miss out on people, and we also need resources. We need numbers, right? And we don't really care about the human side of things. We really just care about people that can, you know, write code. So if you're getting that guidance and you're a manager, you may want to kind of say, okay, but when you're hiring and you know it's going to be for your team, really start to look at the personal fit as well and kind of dig in a little bit to the guidance we're giving here. So identifying that is important. So in conclusion, identifying what your team needs is something that should stem from a vision, a sense of team pride, and something which is formed by the team itself. After all, the people are the ones that have to work and collaborate with each other. And when building software solutions or any other kind of solution for that matter, if you want cohesive parts in the thing you're building, you need cohesive people units as well.
Thank you, Adam. This is good stuff. And I think this is really a novel way to look at how we build strong, engaged, cohesive engineering teams. By looking from the inside out, by not letting traditional norms or formulas drive it. So can you enumerate a short checklist for our listeners to start using immediately?
Sure thing. So number one, set a clear vision for the team, right? As a manager, what you're passionate about can be anything, but set that vision And you can even create periodic check-ins with the team to solidify that vision and keep that in focus. Number two, identify where your team is on the growth spectrum and ensure you are recruiting and hiring for those specific needs. Number three, don't assume you have to always hire for the same formula. Every single individual hire can be different. During the interview process, create a space for the individual to get to work with the team and see the fit. Look for creative ways to do that. And last, reinforce the team culture and vision regularly to ensure there is continuity as the team changes. And the advice here is this can and should be fun. It should be something that the team looks forward to. It could be outings, any other thing, but very important.
Thank you, Adam. This is great stuff.
Thank you, Slava. As always, more good stuff is certainly on its way, so stay tuned.